Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of season 5. If you've just joined us, I'm Robin, about a tired witch on everything, and I'm joined by the beautiful, talented, just effortless Maria of Maria the Arcane on everything.
Hello.
Did you like that
yes,
intro?
Yes, effortless. Definitely effortless. Low maintenance to the core.
You just joined us this week. As a reminder, we have a class happening this weekend, actually, on June 29th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, but it is available to watch anytime after that if you join our Patreon, Library Tier and Up. This class is going to be hosted by Teresa Reed. It's going to be a Tarot 101 class, and Teresa is one of my personal tarot idols, and if you want to get advice from anyone, this would be the class to join. I'm very, very, very excited about it.
Yes. And you guys should definitely be too, because great author, and she writes amazing. Like almost everywhere. So really good.
Like her blog, I know I said this last episode, but if you're just joining us, her blog is literally the reason that Tired Witch exists today. She inspired me to start creating back in like 2017. So shout out to Teresa. Love you a million. And I'm excited for her class.
Yeah. And we just want to mention that for our coffee talks, we do have a new number that you can call. Well, new to this year, but just in case you are new, you can call us and leave a voicemail and tell us your like spooky story or tell us something, you know, just the community would like to hear, maybe something funny. I don't know. You can call us at 351-207-0799 and you'll leave a voicemail. And if you have a super long story, just call again because you will be cut off at 3 minutes.
Yes. Yes. But just call back. We'll merge it all together. It's no big deal.
Yeah. And if just talking is not your thing, you can also just write us on our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com. So,
or shoot us an email at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com.
Send us so many ways.
We want to hear your stories. If you just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. Now, this one, I don't care what anyone says, is the greatest moon of all time. I think sexy people are gonna love this moon, so if you're a sexy person, this might be the moon for you.
Tell them the real reason, Robin.
It's for sexy people. I don't understand what you're trying to imply. The upcoming new moon switches to 1.1% on July 5th, which happens to be my birthday. And it is a Cancer new moon, so I'm not trying to say that the stars are starring, okay, but they're starring in my favor this time. New moons in Cancer are really, really great for magic that you are dealing with, like emotions and home and hearth stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you're somebody who does routine, like home cleansing, wards in your home, like those kind of refreshers, this specific new moon is going to be like doing all that on, I don't know, on 11. And that's a little Spinal Tap reference for everyone. Anyway, this is just basically going to be supercharged for that home and hearth refreshers, the emotional stability and safety nets. This is also a good time that if you do any kind of like family-based magic, I don't know if that's something that people are into. I have friends that do it. My little one is a little too little still to do it. But kind of like dedications as a family, refreshers, just family wards and protections. I think this is a really good time for that. It's an emotional new moon, but in a good way. Mm-hmm. And in my personal case, because the stars align so perfectly that they're kissing me on the nose, I'm choosing to do a big ritual dedication. I was just telling Maria about that, just towards my saints and deities that I work with. It's just going to be a nice little birthday I don't know, dedication for the life I have and how amazing it is.
I love that for you. It's going to be so
Thank
good.
Thank you.
It's going to be so good. And that means on July 5th, just go on to Robin's, like, you know, Instagram and just be like, happy birthday, Supreme. Definitely do it. But anyways.
It's for sexy people. Many saying this. Yeah.
But for me, it's definitely along the same lines, like home and hearth, protection, especially for protection, because, you know, the whole crab thing, not only do they carry the homes on their back, but they also protect their homes with their, like, little pinchers and stuff like that. So
pinchers.
Exactly. So
listen, everybody gives cancers such a hard time. They say how we're big crybabies and stuff, and that is true. I'm not going to say that we're not crybabies, but we're also the fiercest mother truckers around that protect what is theirs. Listen, I'm a lot of things, but I am a loyal friend and a loyal family member, even to my own detriment. And I think that's a very cancer trait.
But yeah, I definitely agree with, like, doing the home wards and stuff like that, like doing maybe,
especially with it being a new moon, like
maybe even like refreshing your witch jars if you have some outside, protecting your house, and maybe taking like a ritual bath for like protection and for just like comfort with emotions. Like, let's say you've been super emotional lately, and or like you're just flat out burned out. It is summer, so it's like that go, 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 go energy, which can wear anybody out. But doing like a little ritual bath to help like cleanse it away and protect you from further burnout, I think would be a really good idea.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
I know. Thanks.
Oh.
So, if you have just joined us this episode, every episode we talk about tarot. Previous episodes, we've gone over like individual meanings of the cards. And then like last season, we went over like whole sections in tarot, like the court cards, the major arcana, the minor arcana, aces through, you know, all the rest. But this season, we're concentrating on themes, like the themes that we see in the cards and what we think represents those themes. So this theme, we thought we would kind of go off of like the main segment of this episode, which is deception. So I picked for my first card the Hierophant reversed. Okay, so when this card is upright for me, it represents like going to an advisor or like seeking advice from someone more knowledgeable than you that has like that learned knowledge. Now, when he's reversed, it shows that like receiving bad advice from someone who is actually probably not that knowledgeable, but if they are also knowledgeable, they're just like being intentionally like obtuse and rude and not really being helpful to you, even though they are giving off the air that they are helping you, but they're not. They're just being horrible.
Condescending.
Exactly. So definitely, you know, be wary of the Hierophant reversed. But, and then the next card is the Seven of Swords reversed. Now, okay, I view this card very differently. Like when it's upright for me, it shows like taking back our power from a situation camped out on our life. Now, when it's reversed, it shows that our power is being taken from us, which most people consider it upright. But I see it the complete opposite. But the power is being taken from your life and like situation is camped out on it and just keeps stealing, like, you know, your mental health. Like you keep thinking about it and it's causing you a great deal of stress and anxiety. But, you know, sometimes we don't see these things happening. It could be like a friend being deceiving us and we're just not seeing that we're slowly like losing our minds over like a particular friendship until it's too late. And it can also point to like being completely unaware that someone is actually being, you know, doing negative stuff towards us and intentionally hurting us. And we won't find out until later. This card like heeds a warning that there is something happening that you may not be seeing or witnessing. Okay. And then the next one is the Devil. Now, this is kind
of
exactly. This is kind of like inward deception. The devil kind of shows us when we place blame on something that's going wrong in our lives, instead we place blame on something like completely outside of ourselves, even though we are the problem. You know, it's like how some people blame the devil for the things that are happening in their lives when it's actually them doing the bad things, and they just keep going, oh, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's this person's fault. It's the devil's fault. It's all these other things, instead of being like, you know, actually reflecting, being like, you know what, I am actually the issue. And this can even go for like having an addiction towards something, or like sticking ourselves into situations and being like, no, I'm stuck here. There's no way I can go. But you do have the freedom to go. You're just lying to yourself that you don't.
Totally.
Yeah. But what are your three?
So my first one, first of all, I'd like to point out that we both picked a lot of reversals for this, which like, it doesn't mean anything one way or the other, but I just thought that was nice, in alignment. Yes. So the first one that I picked is the Three of Cups reversed. If you actually look at the Rider-Waite-Smith imagery, the center figure on it, their back is turned to us. And in tarot, when we can't see someone's face, that often is a sign of something going on that is below the surface that we can't see, right? Mm-hmm. And so when it's in reverse, this kind of happy-go-lucky partying starts to turn into gossip. It starts to turn into people that are perhaps manipulating you to kind of keep up the party at their your expense, rather. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And so it starts to bring up the question of, who do we surround ourselves with? Who is bringing us joy? And is that joy actually helping me, or is it helping somebody else? Mm-hmm. So there's that. The next card I picked is the Magician reversed, and this is a self-deceptor card as well. Mm-hmm. This is cockiness. This is ego. This is thinking that we know everything when we don't. And when like people are trying to, let's say, offer you help, you're like, I don't need that. I've got everything, but you actually don't have everything, and you do need assistance, and you do need outside input. And the only person you're hurting is yourself. You're lying to yourself that you've got it all together, and you simply just don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's the separation of ego and divine. Mm-hmm. When it's in upright, it is you connected with the divine, and you can make anything possible. There's just this massive separation, and we're lying to ourselves about that.
Yeah.
And the last one is also a self-deceptor card that I picked, which is the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
The Moon is paranoia. We're lying to ourselves, or we've worked ourselves up so badly that we are seeing problems that don't exist and harming ourselves, mm-hmm, by not proceeding forward because we're so worried about all these issues that just simply aren't real.
Mm-hmm.
It's anxiety, and anxiety is valid. What's that expression? It's like, your feelings are valid, but that doesn't mean that they're not lying to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is this card. Mm-hmm. Your feelings are valid, but that doesn't mean that your perception of reality is true. And that doesn't make it any less valid.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we have to kind of check ourselves a little bit, because we might be overworking ourselves up to our own detriment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also feel like the Three of Cups reverse could also be like a self-deception card, just because of, it can show like over-partying and stuff like that. And you're like, but I'm having much fun. And
I'm having a great time.
Crumbling around you.
I don't have a drinking problem. I have a party problem.
Like, exactly. Agreed.
So, as we talked about earlier in this episode, we are today joined by Dawn Martin, author of Dabbler's Guide to Witchcraft. Dawn, would you like to introduce yourself to our lovely listeners?
Hi there, everybody. Long-time listener, first-time caller. My name is Dawn Martin. I am the host of a podcast called Head on Fire, and also the author of a few books, the most recent of which is The Dabbler's Guide to Witchcraft, a search for... What was the... Seeking an Intentional Magical Path. Wow. I know my own subtitle.
That's embarrassing. And we caught it here, live, today, on Coffee and Cauldrons. Don has no idea what his book's called. Was it written by AI? Let's discuss further.
just about, as you know from writing nonfiction, your title is mostly a mishmash of SEO garbage.
And we don't have any say over it.
Just about anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we didn't have any say over it. At least that was my experience. I was informed what my book was going to be called. And I was like,
I had 6 months of furious emails back and forth before finally I was just like, okay, I give whatever you want. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that very much.
Being an author is fun.
So funny.
Yeah, no. I could imagine not having like a say, especially over the title.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a huge reason why a lot of people move to self-publishing.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, Dawn, thank you very much for joining us today. Yes,
thank you so much for joining us.
Despite my protests, we did decide to have you on. I mean,
Your podcast should come with a warning not to lift heavy equipment or drive heavy equipment while listening, because it is so very funny. I have often very nearly injured myself in the gym while I am listening to your show, because it is quite humorous. I do love it, and I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. We're so funny and dumb.
It's because we're so pretty that we have to make up for it by also being hilarious.
I am so into women. Like, you have no idea. No idea. Happy Pride.
During Pride Month?
Happy Pride.
Please do not tell my husband.
I'm literally texting him right now.
Dear. We'll just be your favorite women. It's fine. It's fine.
I'm telling your husband's mother.
It would not surprise me if you had her number.
If Robin doesn't have it, she will find it.
I will.
She will. Well, she'll text my husband, and my husband will give it to her, because he'll think it'll be so funny. Easy.
And it will be. Hi, you don't know me, but we have something very serious to discuss. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's be serious, guys. This is a serious podcast with serious questions. Maria, do you want to ask Dawn our first question?
I sure can. Not that I haven't been trying like the past like couple minutes, but it's fine.
Relax.
It's
fine. Just scream at me.
Wow, Robin.
I don't scream.
You stop yelling, please.
So your book is an intro to witchcraft, but also a book about discernment and magic. Can you tell us a little bit about why you thought to add that?
Yeah. So my approach when coming up with the Dabbler's Guide to Witchcraft, I took into account the fact that the pagan community, kind of the modern magical community, is actually a fairly new thing. It's less than a century old, depending on your metric. It might be 50 to 70 years old. It's growing and changing so fast, but so much of that growth and change happens like in person, online, like in places where the community gathers. And a lot of that is happening off the page. It's happening in person. It's happening in comment sections. It's happening in, you know, when I was coming up, it was happening on Facebook and MySpace and stuff. So there are things that we discuss that I have rarely, if ever, seen committed to a book. Like a really good example of that is UPG, unverified or unsubstantiated, depending on which acronym you use. Personal gnosis is a really good example of that. It's a term that our community seems to have created, and it's brought up often in community discussion. But I remember when I first came across it many years ago, the only reference for it that I could find was like a single online blog from a website that doesn't even exist anymore, where someone was simply like trying to define how we are using the term. So I wanted to give a new person a skill set to navigate that kind of gray area where terms are made up and passed around and over time begin to mean different things to different people in different contexts. So instead of, you know, like there's so many how-to 101 style books, and I've both been a person and been witness to people asking for like other types of books. I don't know that if we're going to use the college nomenclature, I don't know that I would categorize this as like a 201 book by any means, but maybe like a prerequisite or a 102, like something that you would take alongside your 101 courses to kind of like help inform the way that you read those other books. It's going to help give you a skill set, because where those other books might teach you how, I'm hoping that my book teaches you to ask why.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I think it's really important too, because kind of going off of exactly what you just said with UPG, I think a lot of people get so, and I'm guilty of this too, by the way, a lot of people get so used to doing something for such a long time that we kind of forget that we came up with it. And that's just human nature, right? You do something for so long, somebody didn't pass that on to you. You just kind of stumbled upon it and then you forget. And I think that that's okay.
Yeah, especially, you know, when I like write my posts or anything like that, I'll have a comment sometimes like, what does this mean? And I'm like, oh, I probably don't know what that means.
That's a really good question. Thank you so much for asking.
And it's, you know, there's all sorts of, you know, examples and folktales and stuff about, I think there's one where like, you know, a master, a grandmaster of a, I don't know, some type of temple was, had a cat, and every day before they went to meditate, he tied the cat up outside because it was a very noisy cat. And then they would go inside and meditate. And over time, you know, new people came in, new masters came in, and all they ever knew was that before you meditate, you have to tie a cat up outside. Like that, they start really thinking metaphor. Like, oh, I have to tie the cat up outside before I can go meditate. And we've never asked, like, you never stop to ask, why are we tying the cat up? And it's just because that original master was like, I really do not want to be interrupted by my cat, so I'm going to go put him on his leash outside.
I feel like they would learn really fast if they were like, okay, just let it roam.
And even though we are so young, we have grown so fast. And there has been so much evolution in our community that there are things that are done. There's things that we consider like maxims in the community that some folks that might have, you know, joined up in the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, they just think, well, this has always been this way. Well, it actually hasn't. We did just kind of make it up. And we can unmake it up. And we can ask why. And we can reinvent.
So kind of going off that then, when we are talking about our community and kind of where it is now, so much of it does exist on the internet. Obviously, of course, there's still very active and wonderful in-person pagan communities, but a lot of people are solo practicing and they get all their information from content creation because of ease of accessibility, etc. So that being said, if you are going to talk to somebody who is primarily getting their information from content, what would be some red flags that you would kind of point for people to be aware of?
So I think that the red flags in our community are kind of the same red flags just in general when being a good steward of navigating social media. A red flag for me, you know, red flags go up whenever I see, and I know what to look for now because of, you know, decades of experience, but I do try to teach people the skills of noticing when somebody is strategically leaving out context. They are not defining their terms. They're claiming unearned expertise. They're putting on themselves certain titles or certain accolades or something. And the audience is just sort of led to not ask questions and to just accept it at face value instead of doing what you should do and ask why. However, I will say I do allow for grace in those moments because we are far enough into the internet age at this point that there are people who have co-opted tactics, like just ways of talking, ways of presenting information that are based in fraud, but they may not be aware of that. You know, maybe they're parroting someone that they looked up to, not realizing that the reason that that person spoke the way they did is because they were intending to mislead their audience. But somebody coming up now, you know, somebody coming up during the witch talk craze a few years ago just thinks, oh, well, this is just the way that this is just the way these conversations happen online. This is just kind of how you talk to build an audience. This is what people expect. So this is what I'm going to give them. Then, of course, there are the people that know that they're doing it and do it anyways. They know better, but know that extreme language or outrage or wild stories or, you know, outlandish experiences or whatever, they get more clicks. They get a little bit more attention on the internet. That outrage mechanism on social media is what drives engagement. So I do look for people leaving stuff out, omitting stuff. The other thing that really bothers me is ignoring mental or physical health needs in favor of a magical explanation. Like I've seen people state that they have auditory and visual hallucinations and then just balk at the idea that they should at bare minimum speak to a health professional or take into account maybe what they ate that day, what other kinds of medications they might be on. Did they get really, really hot that day? Did they get really, really cold that day? You know, I've seen people encourage others to turn to magical healing and actively discourage Western medicine. So I'm somebody that firmly and fully believes that science and spirituality should and do work in concert. They shouldn't be at war with one another. So the one last thing, and maybe this is just because of my own professional experience, but I get really wary when people start asking for money, and it's in tandem with some of this other stuff where they are leaving out context, where they are implying expertise that maybe they don't have. They're throwing around titles or awards or something like that. And the audience is discouraged from asking, where'd those awards come from? How'd you earn that title? Yada, yada, yada. So, I get a little wary when people call themselves
a doctor. And then you're like, where did you get that degree at? And then they just don't answer you.
Especially whenever they say they have a doctorate in something that you don't normally get a doctorate in. I don't know. I'll just use a more generic term, which you can get advanced degrees in, but not at every university. But if somebody says they have like a doctorate in metaphysical studies or a doctorate in, you know, something that leans very heavily into the witchy and woo-woo side of things. Mm-hmm. Which university? Where'd you get that doctorate? Is it a real university? Right, yeah. And the reason I say that is because there's a lot of these kind of pay your money, get a doctorate diploma mills that exist that mm-hmm. aren't mm-hmm. real accredited universities. And I do think that, you know, if you are going to say that you're a doctor and you're going to throw around that title to tell new folks to give you their money and to listen to you and to, you know, lean on that, that, you know, appeal to authority, right? That mm-hmm. you have the expertise that somebody else doesn't have. I do think that you should be a little bit more transparent about where that expertise came from.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree.
Like all that is giving that, like, I don't know if you've ever been to a pagan festival, but there's always like one of cult course. There, like handing out pamphlets.
Like dozens.
yeah. I hate that. And they're all online too, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yes, they are. And the only people I've ever met in my personal life who have a PhD that is directly related to witchcraft. So not like, you know, when you can say like, oh, philosophy or whatever, like the only ones that I know that are directly like have the word witchcraft in it are like they have a PhD in like historical studies involving paganism and witchcraft, etc., or mm-hmm. they have a PhD in the history of spiritual growth through the Western world, etc., etc.
Or you have somebody like Corey Hutchison, who has advanced degrees in like American studies folklore, right?
Exactly.
Right. No, exactly.
Somebody like that
I have a PhD in spiritual healing, actually.
Yeah, somebody like that is very clear about what their expertise is and very clear about what it isn't. And mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sketchier person will say that they are an expert and then let you fill in the blanks as to what that means. We'll let you project onto them oh, well, God, they must know everything. And they're like, yeah, sure. Give me money. Buy my book.
I'm going to add my own content creation red flag. Not that this is about me, but I am going to add one, which is people who speak in absolutes.
Oh, God.
On the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know, just in absolutes. It's like, oh, do you remember that? There was some video years ago, and I'm not going to say who it was, but somebody did a video talking about moon wobbles happening during a certain time. Yeah, I see you rolling your eyes. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And they talked about how during this one specific lunar phase, I don't remember what it was, but that the moon was going to wobble and that could affect you, blah, blah, blah. And the actual like nuance fact there is that the moon always is wobbling. That is a part of it being in space.
Yes. And then the Earth also wobbles. I remember during the same time, I reached out to Kathleen Borealis, who has a great long-running podcast that she does when she can. She's a geologist and geophysicist as well as a pagan and witch. And she was like, oh, yeah, well, when you do the math on that, it's about the same effect as if you were to just jump up and down a lot. That's the same equivalent effect as just jumping up and down. So,
yeah.
So these matter of fact statements, yeah. I think, without any information, that's a big red flag to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why I said, you know, context is important. Nuance is important. Citing your sources is so important.
Oh, so
you know, where'd you get your information from? Okay. If you're going to speak in an absolute, which, okay, maybe there's some instances where you can.
Sure.
I want to be real sure where you got that information from and that it is just as peer reviewed and vetted as it can be.
Yeah.
And even if you're, especially in content creation being short format, even if you're not going to share it initially, if somebody asks, follow it up with an answer.
Yeah. I really think people need to, like, with absolutes when it comes to UPG, like, that's when it gets really dicey, when they think their way is the only way. And especially they're not taking into account other cultures. They're not taking into account like other people's experiences and stuff like that. And then they get all these people to think this one idea, their idea is the only true idea.
So when it comes to, those like absolutes, those declarative statements in UPG, I made up an example in the book that I'm sure we've seen some iteration of. All of us have seen some iteration of it. Mm-hmm. But let's say that you're going to Circle and you're really excited because it's one of your first times like going to this pagan meetup or going to this Circle group or something like that. And everybody's asked to bring something. It's a big potluck for a Sabbat. And you decide to bring oranges. I don't know why. You just decide you're going to bring fruit, and there were oranges aplenty, and you thought, oh, oranges sound nice. I'll go bring oranges. And then, oh gosh, the woman, the high priestess is like, how dare you bring oranges? Hecate hates oranges. You should never bring oranges to... And like, okay, well, now I have a lot of questions. Does Hecate hate me? Because... like, does she have a problem with oranges, or do you have a problem? Like, do you just not like oranges? Like, is there a reason why not to bring oranges? Could I know why? And is the goddess, did I just anger a goddess, or did I just anger Margaret?
Like, Margaret.
Does Margaret just not like oranges? Maybe she's allergic or something.
She hates citrus.
And she's just like, I'm going to blame a goddess for that. I'm just going to say, you know what? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't do that because the goddess told me that she hates oranges. Okay. Did she?
Yeah. So going off of being wary about like content creation, how about red flags and magical books?
Oh gosh. So there's a few things and they all have to do with like research methods. Cause I'm a nerd. So what I'm about to say is absolutely no shade necessarily to Llewellyn and Wiser. However, what I have noticed is that if I am picking up your book and every single source citation is just from those witchy big two, that gives me pause. Because pagan publishing has created its own kind of echo chamber in recent decades. And if you are, if all of your source citations are only coming from within that echo chamber, then it leads me to question how deeply you researched this topic and how broadly you understand this topic. It makes me question how thoroughly you vetted the information. So I'm going to give you an example. The Burning Times. The Burning Times has been in pagan books for decades. And I think we've all probably seen it even pop up, even in small part in recent years in some witchy books. But the idea that like 9 million women died at the stake because they were part of a secret witchy organization that was at war with the church, like the whole Margaret Murray, you know, witch cult of Western Europe thing, that had they reached outside of witchy publishing, they would have seen that this had been debunked decades ago by scholars, historians, folks who know this stuff. And while it's really fun to believe in some of this, it is also important to acknowledge, hey, we could, there's still a lot of magic that can be found in reality, and we don't have to make things up for it to be magical and powerful. And
also, almost, the burning times that did occur also happened in a very specific region of Germany primarily. And I think that upholding that specific narrative, given Germany's history, is probably not that good of a thing, actually.
Well, and that's the thing is that, I mean, you bring up a really good point. There's a lot of angles that you can look at. Like, you could look at the whole broad history of the witch trials, you know, which is a few hundred years and happened all over Europe. And there were places where men outnumbered women as the victims in all of this. The rationale for why they died was almost never about actual magical practice and more about socioeconomic stuff and political reasons and women not having, you know, and wanting to inherit something that somebody else inherited and, you know, all sorts of stuff. Gossip. You're just, you know, I don't like you, so you're a witch now.
You are lipstick.
Yeah, like it's wild. And when you remove all of that context in favor of a narrative that has been so widely debunked, but then to let it continue because we're only ever referencing each other, it just does not give that novice the best quality information. So when I see that. You know, when I see that appendix at the end, when I see that the, you know, for further reading or whatever is all just filled almost exclusively with the witchy big two, I have a little pause there. The other is a lack of asking why. So for example, and this is one that I bring up all the time just because it's a really neat and tidy explanation. I know that we all really love like tables of correspondence, but we don't often see inside of witchy books why that correspondence exists. So like, for example, we know that lapidolite is associated with alleviating the symptoms of depression. And if you read a number of witchy crystal books, you're just going to get, you know, this is associated with alleviating the symptoms of depression and anxiety. We've known about it for years. Then you'll see things like, put it in your water, put it in your food, drink it, lick it, you know, all sorts of stuff. And the why piece of that is missing is the reason why lapidolite is associated with alleviating some of the symptoms of depression is because it is one of the largest mineral sources of lithium, which as soon as we discovered it, in the 1800s, We had almost immediately scientifically been able to relate that to the actual medical practice of treating depression and anxiety medically. But the why from that being severed leads people to believe that holding lapidolite alleviates depression, but your doctor does not tell you to hold a bottle of pills to make your disease go away. That's not how that works. So connecting that how and that why is very important, I think, for a person to understand what it is that they're doing and why they are doing it. And I think that also gives me pause. And I also kind of wish that more, I don't know, I wish that more authors were just kind of more honest about their experiences. You know, I wish that somebody was, I wish that we would hear I could read the words, It was as though a voice spoke to me. It was as though I were standing in the presence of. It was as though, like, I would love to hear more, you know, information. Like, I love when you guys, when you all talk about your own experiences speaking with spirits, with ghosts, with ancestors, with yada, 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 because you're like, okay, well, this is how it happened for me. This is what I saw, or this is what, how I experienced it. I experienced it as a feeling of this, or I heard this, or I saw this. But you're also very quick to also say, well, you know, but this other thing didn't happen, or it didn't always work in this way for me. And I wish that more people took that leadership that you all are exhibiting and ran with it. You know, mm-hmm. I just think we need more people to admit that they, you know, that they're not the super witch.
Yeah. Yeah.
The supreme, which I am. So I'm really confused why.
I think that I'm a lot really of confused. That.
I'm really confused. What, you can put a plastic Party City crown on. That changes nothing. I've watched American Horror Story Coven like 100 times, so I'm pretty sure I'm the most educated in witchcraft, actually.
But no, I really, like, where was I going to go with that? I
appreciate that feedback.
I really think a lot of that is on the publisher's shoulders and stuff like that, because even in my own experience, I run in, if I left any room where I was like opening it up for, you know, interpretation for the person to read it in a specific way, they'd be like, no, you're being passive. You need to say, you know, this like 100%. And it was like, but that doesn't fit with what I'm saying and what I'm doing. But no matter what, I was overridden each and every single
time. Now, I will say
time.
In that regard, I don't want people to think that this is a problem with pagan publishing specifically.
No, it's everywhere.
Fact-checking is a problem nonfiction-wide. Fact-checking does not happen in nonfiction.
No, it does not.
The publisher assumes that you know what you're talking about, and the only time a publisher will get involved with an actual mm-hmm. fact check is if it is an incredibly high profile book. Like when Ronan Farrow publishes you know, Catch and Kill, and he's going after every, you know, mm-hmm. every famous guy in Hollywood, a whole bunch of politicians, et cetera, et cetera, that got fact checked very, very thoroughly before it mm-hmm. goes to print.
Right.
You and I are yeah. probably never going to write a book that a publisher fact checks. Now,
never.
We might pay for an independent fact checker if
I'm
that
literally
is
the most high profile person that's ever lived. So I'm really confused by why you would say that.
Right. But
like,
you're also, yeah, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I do agree about the whole, like, looking where correspondence comes from. And that's why, like, I try to tell everyone, like, if you're looking for a specific plant, let's say that you are looking at rosemary and you're wondering why it, like, it's for cleansing, you would look it up the medical, how it's been used medically and how it's been used throughout history, and like all that stuff is there. You just have to look outside witchy books to find it. Like, I have so many books which I consider are witchy books, but I literally got it from like the plant section in the, you know, in the store. It's not in the witchy section yeah. at all,
right?
And what's interesting about some of those like listings of correspondences where it's like, it's just good for absolutely everything. Oh, it cleanses the blood and it does this and, you know, healing and luck and banishment and I don't know, winning the lottery. And oh, yada, yada. It's good for everything. You know, stuff like basil and rosemary and some of those like herbs or crystals, same thing, is it's been in use for so long in so many different places that, you know, medically we tried this with it and it worked okay, but maybe it worked okay because rosemary, you know, is just a very subtle spice. And so it helps kind of increase blood flow. But actually some of these bigger claims were debunked later on, but we still include it in the book because sort of like the Texas Constitution, we just rather throw more into it and not take out the old whenever it becomes outdated. We just keep throwing more. We just keep adding on instead of editing. Instead of editing out to the most salient points. Sorry,
yeah,
salient
no, absolutely.
Means.
Oh, you are a bully. I'm being bullied. We're all watching it happen. So going off of all this, we've talked about red flags, et cetera, et cetera. My question to you becomes then, if somebody is first getting into stuff, or even if they're not first getting into it, but they're trying to be more careful about where they're getting their advice from, what would be, in your words, something that makes someone an expert? what creates an expert? What is something that we lean on that we can go, you know what? I feel as though this person has done something. Because I know that we have these basic definitions for things of like, oh, well, an expert is somebody who's done something for 10,000 hours. But when we're reading a book, on the internet, how do we do that?
So I really love this question because that's actually like what I do on my show, Head on Fire. I talk to experts.
That's why I included it.
But I talk to experts in like overlooked or misunderstood fields. I am really enamored with the concept of expertise and how people have such like deep wells of knowledge and experience in fields that we don't even think about. I will say that from talking to so many different kinds of experts, that each community tends to have its own metric by which they confer expertise. But I think that the best and most consistent is time. Not just time spent in study, but time spent in community. So a really good example of this, I interviewed Marika Clymer, who is an indigenous Ainu and Japanese Reiki practitioner. She also teaches Reiki. And she said that unlike a lot of those, I spent $50 and went to a Holiday Inn Express, you know, for an afternoon. I got my certification. She's like, you know, my course is over, you know, a certain number period of, you know, years. And basically before you graduate, that certification comes with the sign off of everybody else that you did the work with, all of the teachers, all of the, everybody basically signs off on your diploma, creating that kind of network of, yes, we validate that this person did this work. We validate that this person spent this time in community. You want to check on them? Come and ask us. You know, I know that we like to shit all over Wicca from time to time, but I really love talking with folks like Thorne Mooney or Meg Ellison, who are big advocates for the fact that at least in Gardnerian Wicca, at least that lineage that's created, that initiatory lineage that's created, creates a network of checks and balances where you can say, okay, you say you're a high priestess, where? Who initiated you? Like there's a direct line there that you can then go check. You can go check, okay, mm-hmm. Well, you know, did they actually get through their initiation? Did they, just like with somebody saying that I have a doctorate in X, Y, or Z thing, you can actually go to that university and double check whether one, that degree exists, and two, whether or not that person earned it. That's not illegal for you to find out. It is a public record for all of our degrees. They're all public record. You can go and find that out. So, you know, same thing in the witchy community, same thing in the magical community. A lot of these certifications, a lot of these lineages, a lot of these kinds of things are checks and balances, and you can vet and verify them. Time is a big one. I will say the other thing is that true expertise, a hallmark of true expertise, true experts are usually like the first to say they don't know something. They're the first to give credit away. And they're also like the most humble people I've ever spoken with. And they're the most curious people that I've ever spoken with. They're never going to tell you, like a true expert is going to be like, gosh, I've never heard that before. I'd love to learn more. You know, let me take that away. Let me go. I want to learn more about that. You know, I've never heard that, but maybe that's true. I can't speak to that. What I can speak to is X, Y, or Z thing. That's the topic of discussion. So, you know, a true expert is never going to claim, you know, to center themselves in a conversation that isn't theirs.
Maybe I should start doing that to comments on my Instagram when I get someone's like, you're not doing it right.
I mean, like, I know enough to know when I can speak about a specific topic. And I also know when a topic is not mine, when, you know, just because I might be an expert in one room does not mean that I am the expert in every room. You know, there are things even in the context of witchcraft and magical spirituality and paganism, et cetera, that either of you could probably eat me up on any day of the week. You know, but the thing is, like, we all work in concert. We all, like, check with one another. Like, if I have a question about crystals, I know, you know, I'm going to text Kathleen. I'm going to be like, hey, what's a geologist and a witch have to say about this? Like, where would this come from? Yeah. Why would we think this? You know, certain kinds of questions I'd ask Robin or Maria or Thorne or, you know, all sorts of people. And you know, you need time in community to build those networks, to build that trust so that you know who you can ask for and ask. And you also can kind of recognize when somebody isn't doing that. Again, I always notice when somebody is leaving context out, omitting stuff, you know, and is oh, yeah, I've got an answer for that. If they have an answer for absolutely everything and it's always them, big red flag.
Yeah.
It's called the cult of personality.
Which is a chapter in his book.
Yeah. Part of it. Wrote a whole chapter
on how to spot a fraud. And here you said that I didn't read it.
I wrote that
Robin's over here like...
Shade! Oh my god.
I did say that I mentioned you in my book. I just didn't say where.
Goodness.
So we have one last question. Advice you'd wish you'd learned early on that would lead to a healthier relationship with magic.
I wish that I had been encouraged to be new. I wish that I had been told early on that it was okay to be new, to not know everything, to be silly, to be excited. When I was a baby pagan, we had the word fluffy bunny. Do you all remember fluffy bunny?
No. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it was terrible.
I was in Germany when I was
bunny.
A baby. So.
All those new
she was
fluffy
she was
bunnies.
In her own little cult, and that was being in Germany without the internet.
And, you know, you were really taught to be, like, ashamed of being new. And I think that that hasn't gone away. I don't think we have enough examples of people being new publicly. We have always struggled as a community with somebody picking up their first tarot deck and 3 months later they are giving, you know, high dollar readings, and then 6 months later they're announcing a book deal with Llewellyn, and a year later they are on the speaker circuit or whatever. Like, I, you know what I would much more value? There was a podcast, and I talk about it all the time because it's one of my favorite things that ever happened, and it no longer exists, and it makes me very sad. But there was a podcast that came out a few years after I started my show called The Pagan Hooligans, and it was this husband and wife couple. Mm-hmm. They were the sweetest people in the entire world, and they were brand new to paganism. And they were documenting their journey. And it was so magical to hear their show, because they were brand new to everything and they were excited about all of it. And you would hear them, you know, make their own mistakes, but you would also hear them make their own discoveries. And you would hear them asking why, and reading a book that you'd already read 57,000 times for the first time.
That's
and
so
being
great.
Excited all over again. And I desperately wish that we would see a resurgence of folks getting on social media and just being excited about being new. Hey, I'm new. What are the books that I should read? And the problem is that these days, I think that the problem with that is that we are so afraid of doing something wrong. We are so afraid of asking the wrong question, of being canceled and being thrown under a bus or whatever, that, like, I don't know, I feel like we don't show each other enough grace, because I feel like if somebody was brand new and tried to do that today and they were like, hey, I'm brand new, what book should I read? I know that we are three comments away from somebody saying, well, here's a blacklist of every author not to read, and here is, you know, here is why everybody is terrible, and it turns into a shade throwing contest, and people just get really mad because people get freaked out because it gets so loud so quickly and they run away. So I wish that
I also think that on the flip side, I think on the flip side too, is that it also gives, when I'm going to use the word pretend here, take it for a grain of salt, but when we pretend that we're not brand new to something, what it does is it gives bad people, like, I can think of a few off the top of my head that I'm not going to name, cannon fodder to now, it is you. It gives them cannon fodder to now be dismissive and invalidate people's experiences because they perceive them as being younger or they never heard of them before, et cetera, et cetera. That you actually do have these people that are experts in their field or experts in the community, whatever, right? Or even not an expert, just somebody who's very well experienced, who now is being invalidated by somebody who maybe has a slightly different position of power than them. because we have all these people who do this. They do pretend that they've been doing this for a lot longer than they have. And it gives these kind of mean or, you know, disingenuous people fire. It gives them kindling to be able to make accusations at anybody that they want to. And there's immediately legitimacy to that.
Yeah,
there was at least moment, at first, right?
There was a moment a few years ago whenever we were all on lockdown and social media, like witch talk, Witchstagram, all of the witchy social media was really on the rise. And there was a hot minute where I kind of thought we might see a resurgence of people being excited to be new, because you'd see people that are like, oh, I just got into this 6 months ago. I just picked up my first crystal and yada, yada. And nope, they just got their book deal. Nope, they're just starting to give classes. They're selling services and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, I would love nothing more than for us to create a community where it's okay to be brand new and to discover things and to not know stuff and for that to be exciting and magical and silly. It's one of the reasons why I explicitly created my spell canvases to be what they are. And on more than one occasion, I explicitly tell both my readers and folks on social media to like embrace that spirit of curiosity, that spirit of discovery, that spirit of play in putting on special clothes and using special tools and chanting over special rocks. Like, keep that curiosity, because the minute that you think you know everything, you have lost it.
Well, I think also, yeah, that's the people like that really struggle with getting in touch with their inner child, and having an inner child is such an important part of a magical practice. And you completely skip over that part where you're kind of like rediscovering your inner child and playing with your inner child and like healing your inner child. You're going to have a rough time. You might be giving all these classes, but you know, it's like those people who start off like, oh, now I'm giving classes, and then you don't see them again, like within a year.
Because people burn out so fast. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, if you go too high too quickly, you're going to burn out so fast, because there's nowhere for you to go, because you weren't new, because you told yourself that you had to be much farther along than you were. And as harmful as that can be to somebody that just assumes that a follower count means that you're an expert, it also does something to you, because you constantly have to one-up yourself. You constantly have to outdo yourself. Your next story time has to be an even more outlandish story. Your next deity interaction, your next spell, your next whatever has to be even bigger than the last time. When instead, I would love to see people say, oh, you know what? I did this and I didn't actually see anything. It was a fun time. It was a good time, but nothing happened. It was just a beautiful time under a full moon, and it was great. And that in and of itself is beautiful and magical and witchy. And that's fine. It's all part of it. It's all part of it. I would just love to see that. And I wish that I had that. And I do try to continue to foster that when I do speak to folks and in my own writing as well. I want people to be encouraged to be new.
Yeah.
That's so
just like you, Robin.
Well, Dawn, just like me, I'm very humble. Everyone's saying that.
New.
Oh, new. New. I am a fluffy bunny. Anyway, ending on that lovely insult, I'm being attacked. Everyone cancel Dawn.
Not Maria. I love Maria.
No, why would I ever cancel Maria? She's my literal wife. You, on the other hand, scram. Get out of here. But in reality, thank you very much for being here. Thank you for joining us, even though I gave you a hard time.
It is a privilege and a pleasure. I love your show so much.
Can you please remind our darling listeners where they can find you and what your book is called?
My podcast is called Head on Fire. HEADONFIRE. You can find it anywhere.
It will be in the caption.
Fine podcasts are given away for free or on YouTube. I do also have a book. It's called The Dabbler's Guide to Witchcraft. Here it is. If you're watching this right now. I love it. It's great. And it's super good. I'm also a poet, in case any of you care.
They don't. I'm just teasing.
Thank you, Dawn. I'm at Head on Fire Pod on all social media, but I'm sure you're gonna link to that as well. So sorry.
Yeah, it will be. It'll be in the caption, but I still wanted you to say it.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, Dawn. No,
thank you so much. So, Robin, What is stirring your cauldron right now?
That was particularly wonderful. Thank
Happy
you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. That's a stirring my cauldron. My toddler turns 3 today, which is today as in that we are recording. So this will be a couple days after this comes out. But my toddler turns 3 today and I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I can't believe it that they're 3. Like,
neither can I.
I just can't believe it.
It happens so fast.
I can't believe it.
It's like you blink your eyes
so quick
and then they're grown.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I just couldn't believe it. They're walking around today going, I'm 3, like this.
Oh,
and it's so cute. So I'm just obsessed. If you guys follow me on social media, you probably already saw my post, but they requested a Mothman birthday cake and mommy delivered. Okay.
Yeah,
I worked super hard. I made a Mothman birthday cake. I'm going to take a better photo of it today and probably post it on the grid. We'll see. But yeah, I just 3. And then my birthday comes out is revealed next week because we're both Cancers, but they're a June Cancer and I'm a July Cancer. And I don't know. This year is the first time in a while that I've been feeling super good about just things going on in my life. Not that I felt bad about it, but I don't know. I'm feeling very optimistic and there's a lot of exciting things coming up. And I don't know. I'm feeling very grateful and happy this year. Not that I don't normally feel grateful or happy, but I do feel very grateful and happy this year. So I don't know. That's what's stirring my cauldron.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. Thank you. So So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, I'm going to tell you. So, obviously, I've dealt with, like, really bad, like, health stuff, like, all, like, a good portion of this year. I feel like the last half of the year has
been
horrible.
Dying.
Yeah. And
the Victorian ghoul joke has actually become real. It's been a little ridiculous.
At one point, I thought I had a brain tumor or something. It was very scary. I did not like it. Like, 0 out of 10 experience.
She has developed legitimate hypochondria because of all the health stuff.
Honestly, that is very true, because now, like, small
that
things
was not
happen,
a joke.
And I'm like, oh my God, this
now
is death.
Anything happens, and you're like, I'm dying. I have cancer. It's terminal. It's very sad. And I'm just like, oh, sheesh.
But I don't know. This all has, like, obviously in a good way. Like, I've changed my perception about, like, things in a specific way where I'm like, I cannot go back to how I was, like, before all this stuff happened. Like, there's no way. There's no way. I can't be burning myself out anymore. I can't be, like, overdoing it. I can't be pushing my body. Obviously, like, I was already trying to be mindful of that stuff, but this is just, like, cemented the fact that I need to make, like, some huge changes. And, but, like, part of those things that I want to do is just, like, you know, like, I'm 37 now. I'm going to be 40 soon. And it's just like, you're thinking about how
that's crazy. When I met you, you were just over 30.
It's crazy.
You were literally like 30 or 31. That's insane.
Wait,
to think
I may be
about.
36. I need to do the math, but anyways.
This bitch got no idea how old
she
is.
I really don't. But, it's just that, I don't know, it's just crazy to me that, like, I am this old now and there's so many other things that I want to do and I want to accomplish that I want to see, I want to go out and do. And, you know, like, after you turn a certain age, you know, like, things can happen. Like, our bodies are slowly deteriorating and stuff like that. So like, this is like going through my mind nonstop, like how much I want to travel and do. And it just makes me really bad at like capitalism and stuff like that, that is stopping me from doing all these things, but I digress. But so it's like a little tiny like midlife crisis thing that I'm going through, where I'm like, I'm getting to the point where I just like, no, let's just go on that vacation. Let's just go and do that thing. Like, I as much as I want to.
She's going to get herself a Miata next week.
No, not. Shut up.
She's going to have a real midlife crisis. She's going to pull up in a white Miata soft top convertible and be like, what's up, baby? Hong Kong, get in.
No, I would definitely lean into my SAG energy, my moon SAG energy during this. Like, I would be like, let's go travel.
That honestly feels like a very Sagittarius thing to be like, let's get a fucking white Miata.
I am a passenger princess.
Please, it would be red.
I am a passenger princess.
Okay, so your wife would exactly. pull up That's in the why. White Miata That's soft why. Top and be like, get in, bitch.
Oh, that would be so hot. Anyways. No, like, I don't know. I want to travel and I want to do things and stuff like that. And I have like so much that I want to do. And I don't know. Like, that time is ticking. Time is ticking.
It's true. You're basically knocking on death's door every single day of your life. It's sick.
Well, when you're sick all the every day, time, that's I'm like, what it feels like.
Every single day, I wake up and I say, ugh, I gotta go work with that old woman again. Oh, she's so old.
I am so old.
She's gonna tell me what the 1989 stock market crash was like again. Great.
That was one. And now doing the math, I am 36.
Bitch got no idea how old she
is. I really don't.
Sick.
Yeah, have you reached that point yet where you forget what age you are?
Oh yeah, no, all the time. But part of me remembers how old I am because Frank is a year younger mm-hmm. than me. And his birthday or birth year is a round number. Mm-hmm. So I just count how many he is and add one.
That's smart. That's really smart. Because I was also doing the math. I know Scarlett turns 40 this year. So it's like she's 4 years older than me. So math. Yeah. Math is mapping. It's fine.
The math is mapping. If you've just joined us.
Sorry, guys. Robin asked a question in the middle while watching the countdown happen. And I was like, this is not the time for questions, Robin. Especially if this is my current favorite musician. Okay.
Okay, we're centering Goose Fraba. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This could be photographers, bloggers, books, podcasts, freaking anything. This is stuff Maria and I organically find, not advertisements, and we are taking listener submissions now. So that being said, Maria, who are you digging this week?
So I literally just found them yesterday. It's Hearthcraft Brooms. And let me tell you, oh my gosh,
are they beautiful?
Brooms are so beautiful. Like, works of art, honestly. Like, they're really beautiful and very well done. I really want one. And yeah, I don't know. You guys just gotta look. It's like those like homemade brooms that like are very intricate and woven. And I don't mm-hmm. know, just the way that they have done them is just so stunning and so unique. I haven't seen brooms done like that. Ever.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. Oh my word.
Wow. I have not looked at the prices of them, but
don't do it.
But
they're gorgeous.
They are. And you can tell how much hard work has went into them. So obviously whatever price they're charging is like, it's worth it. That makes sense. But how about you? What shop are you loving?
So I've actually talked about this artist before, Daniel Martin Diaz. They did the Earth Magic Tarot that I use a lot. It was actually gifted to me by one of our Discord members. Shout out, Tom. Thank you. And Daniel has another deck that is on pre-order right now that is not, I wouldn't call it a tarot deck. It's like an oracle deck, sort of. Mm-hmm. It's called the Metaphysic Deck. And it the kind of concept behind it is you put your cards out and they are interconnected. There's like a story that kind of gets made because there's like a root system or like kind of looks like computer hardware. Mm-hmm. And it'll come with a guidebook, but I'm super stoked on it. I've never seen a deck done like this before. If one does exist, I would love it if you sent it to me because I would love to see more decks like this. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really cool. I'm excited about the concept of it. I'd like to pre-order it if I can, and yeah, or at least get it when it comes out because it's just beautiful. So very excited.
Yeah, it's very unique. I've never seen anything
like it. Very unique. I've never seen anything like it. And the Earth Magic deck I have is stunning, gorgeous. One of my favorite decks that I've got in my rotation right now. So I'm already in love with the quality and the work that Daniel puts out, and so I'm excited to see another deck that is so unique, and I'm hoping to get my hands on one.
Yes.
Our listener choice this week is a Instagram account called Ed Perkins. I believe that's how we're pronouncing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person in question is called Ed Perkins. they're an artist, and as far as I can compare it, it's like a modern interpretation of almost like Art Nouveau style art.
Mm-hmm.
There is, oh goodness, what is her name? I can't think of it. There's an artist that was really popular in the early 2010s that this reminds me of a lot of, not the exact same, but a very similar type of style. And I just think it's really beautiful.
No, these are stunning. It gives like that 1920s like art that I very much mm-hmm. dig. So it was an immediate follow. Like
it's an immediate yes from us.
No, it's like very, and I love how they do the whole Art Nouveau mixed in with like fantasy landscapes and stuff like that.
The unicorn drawing or painting, I don't know mm-hmm. what we're calling this, is just so beautiful. It's just so gorgeous.
No, these gorgeous. They need to make a tarot deck.
Please. Dear Ed Perkins.
I always like the right artists that I know and be like, hey, so
what if you just did this?
Just wondering, are you ever making a tarot deck? I'm just throwing it out there. You don't have to.
Some of us are inquiring minds I would like to know.
And I would 100% buy a deck. Like with that type of art, like easy, like
oh, without a doubt, it would be a no brainer for me.
Yeah,
it would be a no brainer.
Yeah,
no brainer.
Because people are literally trying to replicate that type of art with AI, and to have like an artist actually be able to do it, like
oh,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So much for joining us today. We hope that we will see you again on Friday, July 5th, my birthday, for our next Coffee Talk episode, or on July 12th for the 11th episode of season 5. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we are up to. And don't forget to join us this weekend on June 29th for our class with Teresa Reed for her Tarot 101 course. And as a reminder, this is library tier and up. And if you can't make it, but you are really interested, by joining the library tier and up, you not only will get this class as soon as it's done, but you get the whole backlog of classes. So we hope to see you there.
Yeah. come join us. And additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers our special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events and discussions, and we even have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself.
Yes. So I was going to say too, and I'd like the community to give us feedback on this. One of our mentor tiers had suggested that we do a mentor tier that does not include the box. So it'd be slightly cheaper, but I want to know before we put in all that work to put in the class, if that's something that you guys would be interested in, a mentor tier that doesn't include the box. So it'd be a little bit cheaper than it is now. If that is something that you'd be interested in, please give us the feedback on that so that we can decide to proceed ahead or not. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is that if you're loving our sexy, sensual chef's kiss voices, please take a moment to review us on whatever streaming service, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that you are tuning in from. We love reading your reviews, and rating us at all, but especially rating us with 5 stars, helps us to be seen by others. Thank you to everybody who already has and everybody who will in the future, and a special thank you to our Patreon members, because without you, this would not be possible.
Yeah, not at all. Again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere.
And I'm Maria from At Maria the Arcane Everywhere.
Everywhere. All right, ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Bye, witches!